Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to the Jewel Network Science Broadcasting Frequency. The Jewel Network is a radio frequency of continuous streaming science, knowledge, and wisdom, which promotes and sustains the activation of the present evolutionary process of immortality and the unfolding of the God Self within the evolving planetary society on planet Earth. The Jewel Network is committed to broadcasting the sciences of life and the sciences of living. By cultivating the mind of a scientist, you are being able to extract the very best the current 21st century has to offer. You are listening to the Dr. Jewel's Brain Balancing Program and more, with your host, physician and surgeon, microbiologist, preventive medicine and hygiene physician, and Surgeon General, Dr. Jewel Pooler.
Hey, hey, hi, I am so glad to be here with you today. Yeah, that's me, Dr. Jewel. Yeah, I'm vibrating at a whole new octave here since we've come back to the Jewel Network, and I am just excited to be here. I am so excited to be here. Thank you so much. So today is our brain day. Today is our brain day. So I have a bunch of articles. I'm going to focus that I can get through this to make sure that you get all of this pertinent information, because without the health of the brain, guess what? The body doesn't do very well. So what do we normally do for brain days? We definitely obtain water. You have your glass of water there, clean water, a pen and pencil, because we're going to talk about what you need to do to make sure that you have healthy habits for a healthy brain. Then we're going to talk about the new location of the brain, where allegedly scientists have found out where consciousness dwells. And we also found out, because at birth, boy, you have so many brain cells that are multiplying and developing, or should I say morphing, not multiplying, but developing, and they are dying out very quickly too. Thousands and thousands of brain cells when you're a little baby are dying out every day, and new ones are also coming online. But guess what? We found out that those brain cells that we thought were disappearing at birth and in your infancy, they were going dormant, waiting for the opportunity when you grew up, adulthood, to come back online. And I was like, yay for the universe. Okay, the universe doesn't go around destroying itself. Something like a neuron that we know is a physical, biological manifestation of God. Mm-mm. No, they're just accommodating the amount of stimuli and the amount of nutrition that they are receiving at the moment. And when it's not optimal, they go into a state of regression to come back later when everything else is more stable on board. So pads and pencils out. You want to make sure that you get this information from me, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, what you need to do on a regular basis to maintain a healthy brain. These are habits you want to develop. And then we'll talk about all this other, quote, esoteric information about your fabulous brain. So we'll be right back after our sponsor, and let's get into it.
You are listening to the Jewel Network Science Radio Broadcasting Frequency. The Jewel Network provides the neural nutrition and stimulates expansion and evolution of the human brain, nervous system, and body. Remember, our source is a neuron.
Okay, are we ready? Pads and pencils are available. You know, let me say this. I love fountain pens, and that used to be a little hobby of mine, all kind of fountain pens from different eras, et cetera. And so I started going into the ballpoint pens and, you know, the roller balls and that kind of thing. And, you know, I did some research, and I found out that a lot of those inks are synthetic, and they don't hold frequency. They don't hold frequency. So you may not understand what I'm saying, but when you put your signature to something,
that whole document now should resonate with your frequency. And the only way that can happen is that the paper needs to be primarily natural fiber, okay, and the ink you use should definitely be plant pigment. Sometimes they use insects. They actually mix them together, but definitely it should be from a living source. And when that happens, whatever you're signing on is sealed in the universe. Now, that's a little metaphysical little pointer for you. So I went back to using real ink and tools that allow the ink to be usable on a regular basis. The fountain pens and the use of them is a wonderful, wonderful art form, really. So they have special paper and all kind of journals for that information from you and its frequency to be bonded on the paper in journaling. Great teachings. Now, okay, healthy habits for a healthy brain, healthy habits for a healthy brain. Let's get busy. Now, you know about these things, but most of you, you haven't been loving and kind to yourself. And so you're just like, oh, yeah, yeah, I know. But then you get busy with that machine on your wrist or on your arm. And because it doesn't have to take care of itself like you do, because it doesn't even have a brain. It doesn't even have a nervous system. And so, therefore, you're over here trying to keep up with this machine that has none of the fabulous contents that you have, and you start putting this, your important hygiene, on the back burner. Don't do it. Don't do it. So the last time you probably went to your physician or your naturopath, your chiropractor, they probably mentioned some of these things to you. But we're going to go through them now, the most important, step by step, so you can think about how I am going to institute these behaviors into my regular daily lifestyle so I won't be assisted in my life when I'm 60, 65, 70. You won't be in an assisted care facility. You won't have Alzheimer's. You'll be able to be the great person, the scientist, the athlete, whatever it is that you are right now at 90, 100. But you've got to basically start using proper hygiene for the brain. So, first of all, we know what you eat is what you are going to get. What you eat is what you're going to get. And I can guarantee you that Skittles is not going to ensure that you are going to have a healthy nervous system. I don't think so. So therefore, it's very important that you look at what is composing the complete percentage of what you're eating every day. Now, of course, you know, Skittles on occasion or anything like that, that's not a big issue. You got an incredible body. But now, eating that all day long and chocolate candy bars that are made out of what we call adulterated chocolate. There's a special aspect of chocolate that if you're going to include it, the dark cacao is very important. Okay, so a lot of this, you know, diluted out chocolates and things, they really are hazardous to the brain. So what is a healthy diet for the brain? And most important, eating regularly, 3 meals a day. Very important. Breakfast. Many of you get up and you're running out the bread and out of the bed and just something to gulp down. You know, you're taking your boosting drugs. Yes, that's what caffeine is. It's a boosting drug to increase your neurologic activity. Some sugar, and then you're gone. That really is a problem for many other organ systems and for the second brain that is in the gut. So we'll talk about that at a later date. But that brain of yours, ideally, it should have some form of protein and complemented with a complex carbohydrate, okay, not a refined sugar. So even if you ate a salad for breakfast, that's much more feasible. Fruit, etc. The grains are fine, but remember proper hydration and definitely a diet that fits your lifestyle. Now, one day we're going to go into that. There's a diet for your dreams. So people that have different purposes and different focus, they don't eat the same way. See, this has been a problem here in the Western world, that they say that, oh, for breakfast, everybody eats this, and for lunch. No, that's not true. What is your purpose in life? What you want to accomplish means that you have to eat differently to accomplish that. I was looking at a little documentary here on Serena Williams, and I was like, her diet is probably so high in protein, it's incredible, because of the amount of demand that she has on a large group of muscles. And as she's running and she's reaching and she's bending, etc., she is breaking down muscle mass so quickly. It's a lot of protein. And so she's got to make sure that she replaces that so that she doesn't experience a diminution in her power. The muscle is the power source. Also, her energy source. Every muscle has an incredible battery, the mitochondria. So she's got to eat for that. A lot of minerals she needs because of that. Because that battery, like any battery, it's got to have its minerals for it to be able to hold a charge and conduct that life force. So therefore, someone who basically sits at a desk all day and, you know, perhaps has a computer job, etc., to eat the amount of protein that a Serena Williams would need, and you sit at a desk all day, you are definitely going to cause some cardiac and renal problems. It's way, way too much protein for a sessile, which means, you know, you're just kind of vegetating person and eating that kind of a diet. So pay attention. The question should be, okay, I got all this food out here around me. What should I be eating based on my purpose? And relative to my brain, what does the brain definitely need? Hydration, brain is almost 78% water, not seltzers, not bubbling beverages, not beer, not wine, not alcohol, not soda pops, not diet drinks, water, because there's a membrane around the brain that keeps all those liquids out. So they don't go into the brain. So we know for a fact that 88% of the Western world population is chronically hydrated, dehydrated. So inadequate water is a serious problem here. So first thing in the morning, at least 8 to 12 ounces of water goes straight into the system. Straight into the system. And then now a piece of fruit, small amount of juice. You know, people are walking around drinking quarts of juice. Way, way, way too much sugar. 4 ounces. So you see the little 4 ounce cups or little 4 ounce glasses. That's it. And a wise person would dilute half of that with water. So you want to basically ignite the system with a carbohydrate, hydration, and then your next layer is your protein. Very important. So again, great salad. It's got your nuts in it, etc. That also has fat, amino acids for you. Favorite source of protein or high quality protein drink kind of takes care of it all after your water. And you're out. You're off. Definitely want to stay away from the refined flour products. So all of these people are giving each other Pop-Tarts and all this kind of cereals here that are refined grains coated with sugar. Be very careful about that. You don't want to go into a personal care facility here at 65. And so, you know, it just looks like fun. They make it look exciting on the TVs and the commercials. But see your future in this. And you have a brain that allows you to see the past, the present, and the future. So stay in the present and check out your future. Ask yourself, if I eat Wheaties every day
or a dry cereal, where is that going to take me 10 years from now? Where am I going to wind up 15 years from now as you look at the box? Just one day as you're sitting there. That's not to say that you don't eat it, but that is not an everyday activity because you know it's refined. Look at the date on the box when they say how long this can stay on the shelf. And then I saw something very interesting. They were saying that all manufacturers, the date of expiration on the can or on the box, you still have 5 more years of shelf life. 5 more years after that. Do you really think that's going to feed your brain indefinitely what it needs? Of course not. So pay attention to what you put in your body. Study it. And most of all, and one thing we find is very important, try to eat local. Now, what am I saying local? That is that you want your food primarily to come from an area of 300 miles of where you live. So if you put yourself in the center of a circle, that circumference should cover 300 miles north, south, east, and west that your food should come from. And anything coming further than 300 miles, you need to look at it very carefully because usually how it is processed, it is not picked at its ripe state, fully developed. It's not picked up. It's not produced. It's not picked that way. It's very important to understand. So usually they're picking the fruit and these vegetables and things 2, 3, 4 weeks before they actually come into their chemical full development. So therefore, you're not getting that. And so then they have to basically either gas them or they've got to keep them in cold storage. And that means that they're still not progressing toward full nutritional development for you. So then when you get it, you're hoping that it's going to be ripe, et cetera. They tell you to set it out, and it immediately goes from hard to awful in taste. Why? Because it came from an environment that really had nothing to do with you. So your body is incredible. Process a 300-mile radius of information. Did you know that? Your body can process 300 miles of information coming from the ground, coming from the air, coming from the plants. But now beyond that, it becomes problematic because the key is if you're standing on quadrant A, why do I need to process foods that are coming from 1,000, 2,000 miles away from me? What is the effect of that environment in regards to my body? And the effect of what's happening 1,000, 2,000 miles away on your body at this moment is minimal. So why should the body be pressured to try to adapt to something that really isn't even relevant? So we have to start thinking in those terms about where our food comes from. Is the information in the food going to assist us in being able to lock in and be completely present and capable of mastering the moment? See, this is how you also have to judge an appropriate diet for you. It's very important. Now, number two. Now, did you get number one? A healthy diet. Be responsible for what you're eating because of the brain. You want that brain to stay healthy for decades, for centuries, literally. Number two, cardiovascular exercise. Now, you know that you should be doing something with the body, moving it. You have all these muscles in the arms, the legs, the hands, the feet, the thighs, etc., and they're not to just sit there and give the body a shape, have many, many, many functions. And just a couple of them is that they help the heart get the blood through all the tissues, not just the main core tissues, all the tissues. They help to get the blood to the brain. And the brain has a priority, a preference on the blood because it makes sure that at least 30% of all your blood volume stays in the brain. And when I say stays, that is to say, of course, it's on a cycle, it's on a circuit, but 30% of the total blood volume is always in your brain. So if the content is messy, you know, poor food, etc., or the 30% is hard to maintain because you're not using your muscles to help it, then the brain has to work harder. It cannot get rid of the waste. This is one thing we find. The brain doesn't detoxify well when you're not moving the muscles. So we've got four more things to cover that you want to know about how to maintain habits for a healthy brain. I'll be right back. But just think about, what is your exercise program to make sure that that 30% of blood volume and its contents are healthy to restore your brain? I'll be right back after this message.
Humanity is experiencing a vast variety of disorders: HIV, Zika virus, Ebola, hypertension, meningitis, STD, Alzheimer's, and many others. These disorders are the results of not knowing how to live within and navigate the human body. Most of us have learned how to drive a car, but have yet to learn how to care for and navigate our bodies. Enroll into the JUU University of Immortal Sciences for Immortal Living to learn how to navigate and maintain a disease-free body. Visit us at www.juis.education or visit us on Facebook.
You've got to learn how to take care of this body. It's the body that counts, trust me. Thank you for tuning in. You're tuning in to the Brain Balancing Show, and we are on our way to find out the basic six habits you want to incorporate into your lifestyle to maintain a healthy brain. So trust me, you do not want to wind up in the nursing home with Alzheimer's, dementia, etc. They've got this all on the news. It's everywhere now. Take care of the brain. So calm down and recognize that when you invest in yourself and the care of your body, it always pays off. And now, since you have the capacity to live for centuries, it's no fun being in a personal care facility for scores of years. No fun for that. Now, what else does cardiovascular exercise do? So no, you don't have to go and pump weights and all those different things. Just walking 20 minutes in one direction and back 4 to 5 times a week is fine. 4 to 5 times a week, 20 minutes in one direction and back. Obviously, the body just loves you. You go on a cycle, half hour in one direction and back. Okay, yoga, wonderful activity. It has a real interesting effect on the body. But the stretching, what does the stretching do? It causes the muscles to contract, which means that it now pushes blood to the system. And then when you relax, new blood comes into the system to renew the muscle. So you're actually using the whole body, like the heart contracts and relaxes to pump the blood through the entire body. So you actually become like a miniature heart in your yoga practices, etc. So jumping rope, having high impact activities, it's wonderful. As long as you're not hurting your joints, as long as you have the proper support on the critical areas of the body, especially the moving joints, and that you're not exercising on cement and asphalt. If you are, then you know you have to have the proper shoes on. That's the issue. It's ideal to exercise on our star soil, what I call the stardust, which is what Earth is. It's stardust. Because all of that energy that is in the elements forming the stardust, or what you call soil, now is also transmitted to the body. One of the most unwholesome shoes we can wear on a regular basis is rubber sole shoes. They totally interfere with the transmission of all the powerful energies available for you to absorb from the earth. So you got a rubber sole shoe on, you got asphalt, and then you got cement. No, you're not absorbing much of the earth energies at all. So the more you can allow your foot to be in contact with real soil, that also is very important
to bring about an energetic homeostasis, that is, balance between you and the earth energies and your nervous system. So exercising on the land, if possible, is fine without shoes. Otherwise, just 20 minutes. One direction and back, rowing machine, anything that causes all of the movable joints, if possible, to move, along with proper breathing. I'm surprised how many people are not able to breathe properly when they're exercising. It's interesting. The women have a tendency to only want to do what we call chest breathing, so they don't ever expand the entire rib cage, where that allows the entire lung to be infused with air. So they only use the upper one-third of the lungs. And that's a lot of nitrogen and oxygen that does not get into the system. And do listen to my language, because you need nitrogen as well as oxygen. And obviously, how do we know that? Because that is the molecular content of the air. Air is actually composed of over 70 to 78% nitrogen, not oxygen. So therefore, yes, the small amount of oxygen is important, but obviously just the composition of air talks about the importance of nitrogen. What else is made out of nitrogen? Protein. Yes, it is. Okay. Nitrogen forms your amino acids. Yes, it does. What else do you need nitrogen for? For your brain, for your thoughts. The thoughts are made out of proteins, which requires nitrogen. So you've been given a big, big push about oxygen, but again, just the basic composition of the things we need for life shows us, based on concentration, what is most important. Number three, sleep. So important, and especially based on the stages of development that the body is moving through. Now, one of the things you're going to find out more about is that as you decide to prolong your lifespan, okay, when you decide that you're going to live for centuries, you're going to go through additional stages of development that modern science hasn't even begun to discuss, because they have just been fixed on 70, 80 years, and most people are in a decline by the time that they get to 60, that obviously being able to be here for 100 years, 100, 250 years, they've never seen any of those transition points, which the body makes. If you can just have a regimen of habits that allow the body to get to this next stage of evolution, which is not a decline, but a transformative stage. So it's very difficult when people don't know about this next stage of evolution and development, and they've been programmed all of their life that they're supposed to get old and that they're going to wither. So the transformative stage that normally would have naturally unfolded by the time that you get 60, you've already reprogrammed your body to involute. This is so important, the information that you want to have on board about what you think about, so that you don't program your body for experiences that it was never created to have. The body was never created to involute and wrinkle up and die. It was not created for that. It was created to go through transformative stages, that we have the complementary genetic genome with the information, as well as tissues that are dormant until the proper neurochemistry is released into the bloodstream, so that this next level of tissue evolution comes on board. You get greater and greater and smarter as you mature. There was no script written for you to basically go into a static state and then to involute and destroy the body. This has all been external programming placed in your environment, and because of its chronic position in your environment, and then people are discussing it, and then now people are going through huge celebrations around something they don't want,
the body is like programmed to think, oh, okay, well, this is what's supposed to happen. It ain't what I want. Okay, and we're going to talk about the conscious state of a cancer cell. Okay, my colleagues still haven't addressed the mental and emotional capabilities of a cancer cell. So their perception of what they think cancer is at the physical level, they've got to understand what is the mental and emotional aspect of cancer in the cell. See, we have to stop thinking that a cell doesn't have a mental and emotional body. Of course it does. That's why you have one. And all of these trillions of cells that have come together to compose your body all help to compose the emotional body and the mental body also. Consciousness about ourselves here now. We're going into the 21st century. And so, therefore, you know, we've got all these scientists probing around and matriculating with the physical component of the cancer cell, and they still wonder why we can't stay on top of it unless we hit it with a sledgehammer, such as a drug, or, you know, explode it with nuclear radiation just about, because they still have not understood, even with the patient, what is the mental body and the emotional body contribution to this abnormal growth and function in your body. All bodies are always contributing to what we see in the physical body. It's very important to get. So, therefore, sleep now. Number three, as you mature, you will need less sleep, but then you have to ingrain other habits to support the stability of the tissues. Now, what did I just say? In infancy and childhood, because you have so many systems that are coming on board, you're going through literally this metamorphosis, sleep is necessary for the body when it does begin its first stabilization via its nervous system at age 25. Everything has reached full maturity. Now, one of the serious problems that modern society is, I think, indirectly supporting is the unwillingness to allow the children to get the sleep that they need so that when they're 25, when they're 50, they're going to be awesome. But here they are staying up all night. They've got light in the eye, diminishing the amount of melatonin made by the brain, which is necessary for the brain to grow and for the brain to stabilize itself and regenerate itself. They don't get it because they got the telephone in their face and they got the iPad in their face and they have the monitors from the computers and the huge TV screens all night long. The children need 8 to 10 hours of sleep, and they need that basically up until they're about 13 years old. Yes, they do. And we have all of this data to show that. So pay attention to the amount of light that you are exposing the children to and the length of light exposure. This is so important. So for you now, let's just move you into being 21 plus. How many hours of darkness are you exposing the body to? See, sleeping is one thing, but exposing yourself to darkness is another. And this is part of the issue that still conventional medicine isn't able to discern the difference. Darkness is very important for the regeneration cycles to kick in the tissues. Now, do you have to be unconscious to regenerate? The answer is no. So this is why meditation and other activities that are to be performed in darkness, and when I say darkness, what am I saying? I'm saying that, one, the brain should be shielded from exposure to light. The easy way to do that is obviously close the eyes, because the eyeball is the largest aspect of the brain exposed to the environment outside of the skin. So therefore, closing the eyes immediately shuts down the amount of information in light or daylight that the brain is processing. Okay? Secondly, to cloak the body, if you're in an environment where you cannot control the ambient light. Ambient means environmental, outside. So that's why many times you'll see people in a public place, etc., and if they know this, they will literally cover the body. And you may wonder, well, I wonder why they all draped up like that. And if they're sitting somewhere and their eyes are closed, they're in a regeneration mode, because the skin is also the most external aspect of the brain. And so even though the eyes may be closed, if you're basically without garments on and there's light in the room, the brain is still processing an awful lot of information from the skin. So I've been reading some authors talk about the fact, well, you know, you should sleep without clothing on the skin at night. Okay, well, I can accept that, but the room needs to be totally dark. The window should be covered, no TV, no clocks that are emitting neon lights, LCD lights. None of that should be in the room. And I mean light even in the form of a instant monitor screen. You know, they have the monitors now. If you look at them too hard, they just immediately come on. And that's because they are still emitting very low LCD frequencies, because the electricity is still really going through them, but it's being modulated at a lower capacitance. So therefore, it looks to you, to your eyeball, that you are not seeing light, but you are. The wavelengths are still being emitted. So what am I just saying to you? Sound sleep. Make sure the children get it. 8 to 10 hours, please. You want to have a great person by the age of 25, a person who does not have to be haunted by loss of memory, dependent on drugs, etc. By age 45, let them sleep. Let them sleep. For you, over age 21, at least 6 hours of sleep for you. In the dark, no TV, no LCD clocks or anything. And most of all, make sure that you are hydrated at least 2 to 3 hours before bedtime. This is important. You go all day, you didn't drink any water. And obviously, you're going to disturb your sleep if you drink a lot of water before bedtime. So think about that. Okay, no, I don't want my sleep interrupted, and I don't want to wear out my bladder that, you know, it can hold 10 gallons of urine here. Because it's not going to be able to do that indefinitely if you don't modulate when you take in your fluids, especially water. So have your water on board for your circulation to be able to perfuse the brain when it goes into its detoxification state while you're sleeping. Now, let me just add one more thing onto that, because number four is meditation. So very quickly, healthy diet, exercise, 2, 3, sound sleep and proper duration of sleep, and number four, meditation. Now, check this out. Now, you heard me talk about stage number three. Now, I was talking about sleep, but the older we get, when we have formed the habit of allowing the tissues to recharge while we're conscious, not sleep, we can recharge and not lose consciousness, which means we decrease the amount of actual sleep necessary for the body. So we have information on beings who have very, very prolonged lives. And they don't sleep. They sleep very little, where they actually are unconscious. But they have sessions of meditation, 45, 50 minutes, 3 or 4 times a day, where they basically maybe only leave consciousness for an hour. They rest the brain by meditation. They allow the brain to regenerate itself, to reorganize itself, where they do not allow any extra stimuli to come into the body. That is what meditation is, but you're conscious. and you learn how to synchronize your breathing with quietness. So you're not sitting there with your eyes closed and you're zooming in your brain thinking about a thousand things. No, I'm conscious, but I'm conscious and synchronized with my breathing. So consciousness is also aware of the breathing pattern, and that's what we focus on. When you do that, now, that level of meditation allows the brain to take care of all of its business, etc., regenerate itself, put everything in order. Oh, yeah, you have to understand the brain has housekeeping. It wants to put all these different thoughts in order, all the tasks that you wanted to perform. It wants to basically pull out this particular information, still not clear about it, things that you want to make decisions on that you have to. All that stuff will come right up in your brain for you to handle it while you're sitting there quietly in meditation. And then it'll get to a point where if you decide when I'm going to do this, no, we're not going to do that. Yeah, this needs to go over there. That's okay. Then all of a sudden, everything goes blank. You recognize that you're not thinking anymore. You're just being. And when you do that, everything instantly is charged and regenerated. So therefore, individuals who are able to spend, if you want to bring that machine in called a clock into your life, you can just program it for 50 minutes or so, 45 minutes, and then train the brain to go through this whole procedure. You do that 3 times a day, you're going to recognize, oh my gosh, I only got 2 hours of sleep, where you were literally unconscious. Okay, and that's how these beings are able to do that. Brain is totally regenerated, order, consistency is in how they do things, etc. The body regenerates, but they were all conscious the whole time, except for that short period of time. And this is a whole new level of training that the human body goes through when a person wants to live in full consciousness, in full functionality for very long periods of time. So this is what the centurions do. And the people who live 200, 300, 400 years, they're not unconscious anymore like the little baby sleeping. But they definitely take time throughout a full daylight, nightlight cycle to give the brain and all the tissues a chance to recharge and regenerate, but they're conscious. So the development of meditation with the intent that over time you will learn how to exist consciously without having to lose consciousness to sleep is a new level of progression for a human body that will be empowered to live for very, very long periods of time. That's the next level of progress and evolution of a nervous system and a maturing physical body that can be here for centuries. Now, number 5. Social connections. This is very important. Birds of a feather flock together. And so you don't want to hang out with sick birds. You don't want to hang out with birds who are dependent on chemicals in their body to try to make sense out of their lives. You've got to be very clear about your social connections because we are all connected. Yes, we are. And if you're connected to individuals who have what we call low vibrational circuitry. That is that we have these energy vortexes on our body, and how individuals think and their values and belief systems that are emanating from survival circuitry are very much energy consumers, okay? But they definitely are not energy transmitters. And so, therefore, you'll find that the people feel like you're always being drained and that it's just really heavy to be around them, or either there's some type of drama going on, et cetera, and that is wearing on your body, just like you intuit. So the social connections you want to make are those that are compatible with the quality of vibration that you can appreciate. Now, I want to make it clear to you that when the emotional body, the mental body, the physical body, and your attitude are in sync. You have this overall sensation, especially in the body, of joy and also of bliss. Okay, many people have described it as just walking around pre-orgasmic, not necessarily interested in having intercourse with someone, but the heightened sense of really resonating that happens many times in the early phases of sexual contact. You just walk around feeling that way. And when people who don't know this is a natural state of harmony, they actually go around looking for somebody to have sex with because they don't understand that when the body and all the organ systems and the emotional body and the mental body is all at the same vibrational frequency, this is how you feel. It has nothing to do with you need to have sex. And I've just heard so many people say, oh, my gosh, you know, I need to have sex. No, you don't need to have sex. You need to understand the harmony that's been established in your body, because when you are in harmony like that and you put your mind on something, you hold a focus, it must manifest. See, that is the energy frequency that manifests very rapidly any thoughts into this dimension. So I want you to understand that the social connections are very important. So people who are always requiring energy, that you always have to contribute energetically or whatever else, et cetera, is that the type of social connection that you want to have with these individuals? Because over long exposure, they literally interfere with the harmonics of your own body. So it's very important that you pay attention to what is the energy and what is the kind of relationships that you want to be involved in that allow you to have harmonic energy exchanges. It's very important. So being by yourself doesn't get it. No, we're not created that way. And the brain requires interaction and connectivity with other energy conduits. You have to remember that you have more than one neuron in your brain. You have somewhere between 80 to 100 billion neurons in the brain. Some authors say trillion. But that means that one neuron is not doing all this for you, nor 10 or 20. So you want to be in a connection network where everyone is basically resonating the kind of energies that you like to be able to be aware of, passing through your body, passing through your brain. So that's why people have clubs, and they have guilds, and they have all of these different type of center points that are based on particular qualities of thought that everyone can go and be involved in and know that that resonance and vibration that they're going to receive and process by the brain is going to promote the movement of life force, and especially through the nervous system. And then and the next thing that's so important is balancing the brain. You've got to have both hemispheres of the brain communicating equally and appropriately at all times. And the ratio as to how the energy fluctuates is that it's always a 10 to 1 ratio. And so left brain deals with methodologies, collection of data, et cetera. Right brain is always connected to the earth, connected to our planetary system, connected to the cosmos. So based on the data that you have, its qualifications and its appropriateness is processed by the right brain, so that what you do right in your house is still going to be in alignment and in harmony with your community, with planet Earth, with the solar system, with our sector of the galaxy and the cosmos via the right brain. Now, that's awesome. And that's why so many people miss out and things are so messed up here, because we have the very left-sided brain individuals, okay, saying, oh, this is the fact. Facts change continuously, trust me. So therefore,
where does the fact fit in at the moment, and has that been checked in and processed in relationship to the bigger picture? Without that right brain input, that doesn't happen. So you're constantly creating in a little bottle here, but you're having cosmic effects that are ricocheting and causing a lot of problems for other people all over the planet, throughout our solar system, etc., because you don't have the template and the modulator that is monitoring the bigger picture to pass all of the information through from the left hemisphere of the brain. So I've watched this over my years of maturing here in the United States, that we have our institutions and we have these manufacturers that, you know, after 15 or 20 years say, we didn't know that this chemical was going to cause birth defects, or, we didn't know that this was going to actually do this to the brain, and, we didn't know that this was going to cause this type of defect in the environment. And it's like if you would have had access, scientists and researchers, to both hemispheres of the brain, that would have been taken care of at the drawing table. Because as soon as you wrote down your plan, or as soon as you laid out your chemical equation, as soon as you thought about what about creating this, the right brain would have basically taken that information from the left brain and taken it through the process so that you would basically know what the effect is going to be. But this does not happen when you have a society that is only driven by one hemisphere of the brain. And so this is a unilaterally brain function society here that causes many, many problems. So let's go through those again. Number one is a healthy diet. Number two, exercise. Number three, sound sleep, as we think of sleep relative to your age. And four, the integration of meditation to modulate how consciousness will support tissue regeneration all over the body and in the brain. Social connectiveness, so that's number five. Number four is brain balancing. Got to get both hemispheres of the brain articulating. To be left-handed or right-handed is inadequate to have a body that can live for centuries. You've got to bring both hemispheres on board. Do you hear me? You cannot walk around and think that everything's okay and you're only using 10% brain function. You cannot walk around thinking that it's natural for you to have to cross over your body to reach to the right side of it for anything when you have a left hand and a left foot. It's very important. You've got to have full brain function to sustain a body that can last for very long periods of time. We know how to do that permanently, just like we do everything else, with geometry. Now, you know, my engineer brought up a very interesting subject. I'm going to take a moment right here before station break to discuss that. We talk about brain balance. It's so interesting that so many people want to come and talk about their method of brain balancing, but they're still unilaterally functioning neurologically. Balance, and why can't you permanently then use either side of your body, et cetera? What are you doing? And they use methodologies that are not permanent. So you have to understand, for example, if you had a room and you basically want to bring it into order, well, you could bring it into order with the use of sound, okay? You could bring enough information into that room through sound to cause the mass to change shape, etc. But now once you turn the sound down or removed it, is everything permanent? Is it going to remain that way? And in this dimension, no, it is not. It's not. It's going to finally return back in mass to the state that it really originally was, unless you reapply the sound. So is the sound a defect? No, but it is not geometrically stable in an environment, in a dimension that requires geometry to stabilize it. So just as we've done the experiments with water, where we can take sound And because of its geometry, it will then change the geometric structure of the water. And the key here is that the template, which was geometry, to stabilize the structure of water in the configuration that we transformed it into, still has to stay in place. So if you want to do the research on Dr. Emoto's work, just writing down a thought. But you have to write it down. What is writing? Script. It's geometry. It's the geometric figuration of what has been translated to be your thought that causes the molecules of the water to change. So you write down, I love you. You put that on the water. Take micrographs of the water structure before, and then you put your thought on it. You write it down, tape it on the bottle. Guess what? The whole molecular structure of the water has changed. Beautiful geometric template. And as long as that geometry stays in contact with the bottle that now is influencing totally the water will hold that configuration. So here you have a brain, it's over 70-78% water. You pass sound through it. The water in the brain is going to change its template. But what about the physical tissue? The physical tissue has to change its template by a permanent physical reorientation of the tissues. We call it neuroplasticity. And what does that? Thought. And with the wholesome reconstruction of the brain, and thinking continuously in particular manners will hold the brain in a balanced state. But we know that when we put geometric structure in front of the brain, the eyeball, the tissues immediately conform to that geometry. So what's so interesting is the fact that when you do that in consciousness, the brain then begins to recognize the geometry everywhere in the environment. And so therefore, the geometry that was responsible for restructuring the brain, because it's primordial, whenever the eye lands upon anything that has that same geometric structure, the brain is constantly moved back into the stabilized template of the geometry that reconstructed it for wholeness and balance. We don't go around listening to sound all the time that does that. Okay, that's by choice. But once the brain has been realigned by the geometry that creates this dimension, then this dimension after that will hold the brain in its balanced state because everything in this dimension is of the same geometry. Just fractals of it. It's a wonderful thing. So, again, before I go to station break, healthy habits for a healthy brain, for a body that can be here for centuries. Eat properly relative to your diet. Oh my goodness. Cardiovascular exercise, sound sleep as we know it, definitely meditation, balance the brain. You've got to get right and left hemisphere articulating permanently. Social connections that support the resonance and the type of vibrations you want to feel. And then last but not least, number 6, you've got to feed that brain proper knowledge and information. So I've enjoyed this time with you about the brain. And check us out at our university where this is all we do all day long, JUIS.education. JUIS.education, the Jewel University of Immortal Sciences for Immortal Living. I love you so much, and I'll be back next week with more information on how wonderful you are in that fabulous brain. Take care of yourselves now, and remember, sleep in.
Thank you for listening to the Jewel Network Science Broadcasting Frequency. Join Dr. Jewel here each Monday at 5 p.m. on the Jewel Network, hosted by thejewelnetwork.com and Jewel University of Immortal Sciences for Immortal Living, Jewis. For our complete broadcast schedule, additional information, and to purchase products, please visit our website, www.thejewelnetwork.com. If you'd like to contact us, please send your email to info@thejewelnetwork.net. Thank you.